their ability or willingness to A, answer your question, or B, engage, tells you so much. Are you dealing with somebody you can sell? Are you dealing with someone you can take through the sales process? Are you dealing with somebody who will actually show up for the appointment? Hey, if you don't have control right off the bat, things are only going to get worse.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sell or Die podcast, the global premier personal development and sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling and my newest book, The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. We are interviewing leaders in business, sales, and personal development to give you the strategies it takes to make more sales and make more money.
Strategies that you can take out into the street and turn into money 1 minute after you hear them.
In a manifesto moment?
Well, no, more like in a New York Minute.
Oh, thank you to all the diehards out there supporting us with listens and 5-star reviews.
Be a star on Sell or Die. Leave your own review. Come on. Go to your computer right now. Go to iTunes right now and write down, type down, talk down exactly how you feel about this podcast and how it might affect others.
All right. I want you to enjoy today's show. Take notes and tell us what you think on our Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group.
All right, let's get to it. It's time to sell or die. Diehards, we have with us today the great Mike Brooks, also known as Mr. Inside Sales. Mike started his career in the financial and securities industry and quickly became a top producer out of 5 branch offices in Southern California. Mike consults with companies around the world and in industries as diverse as insurance sales, internet advertising, software sales, legal intake sales, and more. Unlike many sales consultants, Mike's varied background allows him to work with both B2C and B2B companies. Won both the 2017 and 2018 Service Provider of the Year awards by the American Association of Inside Sales Professionals. That's why they call him Mr. Inside Sales. He's the author of 3 books, including Phone Power Scripts, which features over 500 word-for-word questions, phrases, and conversations to open and close more sales. Please help us welcome diehards, the great Mike Brooks.
Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for having me. Welcome, everybody.
You're welcome. You can read that at your funeral, too, by the way.
It's a nice one. It won't fit on the headstone, though.
It won't? No. I'd rather be here than Southern California would probably be a better shot. So, diehards, Mr. Inside Sales here is going to give you a process today, a bunch of processes today, about what you need to do when you're on the phone. You don't have to be an inside salesperson. You have to be someone using the phone. So let's clarify that for our diehards out there. And there's some best practices, and Mike is going to go over some of the best cold calling practices to take the cold out of prospecting. And the first thing I want to ask you about is gatekeepers, because everybody in the world asks me, how do you get past the gatekeeper? So why don't you give me your version of what some things are that can get me to that next level?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the first thing is to recognize this is a repeatable selling situation. So guess what? You better be prepared.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Stop ad-libbing. Stop trying to trick the gatekeeper. Stop asking for a first name and then not using an instructional statement. So here are my best practices, and I use these even today. I fly past gatekeepers. Everyone I teach is who uses this flies past the gatekeeper. Ring, ring, XYZ company, how may I help you? You simply say, hi, may I please speak to John, please? So did you notice I used please twice? It immediately changes everything. People respond nicely to nice, courteous words, especially gatekeepers, because they have salespeople trying to trick them. Hi, can I speak to John, please? She'll say, may I tell him who's calling, please? And note, she'll even use please back to you. Guarantee you, she will. You say, absolutely, please tell him Mike Brooks with ABC Company is holding, please. So you use please again, and here's the key. You give your name and your company name. Don't just tell them, yeah, it's Mike Brooks, because she'll come back and say, with what company? Now you're making her work hard. She hates that. Give them all the info and end with an instructional statement. Is holding, please. Now, about 50% of the time, because you've been so nice, you've given her all the information she needs. She'll just put you through. Now, if they don't, if she says, may I tell them what this call is about? You say, absolutely. Tell them it's regarding his lead generation system. I'll be happy to hold, please. You use that again. You use an instructional statement. I guarantee you 70% of the time, you'll fly past the gatekeeper. And by the way, don't take my word for it. Try it yourself.
Exactly. I always have said, when the woman says or the guy says, can I tell them what this is in reference to? I say, yes, it's a business matter of a personal nature. And that way, that stops their questions. As soon as I say it's personal, they go, oh, personal? I'm not allowed to go down that road.
Yeah.
I can only say what's this in reference to once.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And sometimes I'm calling someone about their poor service, and whoever the manager is wants to screen my call. And that's not happening there, D'Artagnan. I'm going to explain my story once, and it ain't to you.
Yeah, that's perfect. And imagine if you had also latched onto that an instructional statement, right? I'll be happy to hold, please. I mean, yeah. it just ends the conversation. You know, and by the way, receptionists, if they're pure receptionists, they're used to taking direction. They don't care why you're calling. They just want to patch you through, move on to the next call.
Right.
Make it easy for them to do that.
But some of them are guards, right? Some of them are true gatekeepers.
Well, some of them are assistants. Some of them are office managers. And you have to treat those slightly different, but it's the idea is the same.
But they get persistent about it. I can't put this through until I tell them what this is in reference to.
I'm so very happy you said that. Let me ask you a quick question. Let's make sure I'm talking to the right person. Does Doug handle the XYZ? So now I'm going to put her back on the defensive and qualify her a little bit. Yes, he does. Terrific. Then let him know it's regarding his lead generation system. I'll be happy to hold, please. And then they don't have a lot of fight in them. Now, if it's an assistant to the gatekeeper, then you got to treat it all very differently. You need to say, and what's your position there? I'm his assistant. Oh, thank God. I'm glad I'm speaking to you. And then you build him up. Let me tell you why I'm calling. Blah, blah, blah. Briefly, is he the best contact for that? Terrific. What's the best way to reach him? Does he happen to be available now? So you make friends with them. You put them on a pedestal. You don't talk down to them, especially if they're in a position of power.
Diehards, realize this. Mike Brooks is continuing to ask questions every step of the way. He hasn't made one statement that didn't end in a question, other than, I'll be happy to hold, please.
You know, my brother was my sales manager all those years ago, and he told me one thing. He said, Mikey? I said, yeah. He says, in sales, you're pitching and they're catching, or there's no deal. And you know what? He taught me to ask questions. Whoever asks a question is in control of the call, aren't they? Yes. You're right. I can't help myself, you know.
Once you know that, and you've mastered it, you can dangle control.
Yeah.
As long as you know how to get it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can ask a question, answer a question, talk about the Phillies, and then, boom, question.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. Let me just elaborate on that really quickly. Here's the deal, especially on the phone, setting appointments, inside sales, regardless. Their ability or willingness to A, answer your question, or B, engage, tells you so much. Are you dealing with somebody you can sell? Are you dealing with someone you can take through the sales process? Are you dealing with somebody who will actually show up for the appointment? Hey, if you don't have control right off the bat, things are only going to get worse. Say, these prospects never get better. They always get worse.
Yeah, I wonder also when you're in that situation, let's say they put you through. What do you say to that person when you get them on the phone? Mary put you through to Bob.
Right.
And now Bob's, hi, Bob.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to get you, Bob. I was going to get your voicemail.
Pull yourself together. You know, hey, it's all a repeatable selling situation. I like to say, hey, Bob, this is Mike Brooks calling with XYZ Corporation. How's your morning going, or how are you doing today? I know that's the oldest thing since sliced bread, but you know what? It's just a social nicety. I like to spice it up sometimes and say, can you hear me okay? Or if I want to go right into it, I'll say briefly, I'm sure you're busy. Quick question for you. I understand you're the one who handles the XYZ. Is that right? So you can go any of those ways, yeah. But you always keep control. But here's the important thing. You have to get to an engagement question quickly, because otherwise you're going to sound like every other horrible salesperson out there who is going to deliver a doggone monologue. And I swear to God, I still hear it. Hey, this is Mike Brooks. Listen, I'm calling because we specialize in so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. We actually have the most. Honest to God, I hear that because I listen to recordings with my clients every single week. Every single day, that's what I do for a living. I listen to recordings of my clients. And I hate to tell you, man, sales reps, it's like, I can't believe they make any sales.
I know.
I wouldn't engage with anyone like that. I hang up immediately.
Actually disappointing because everyone seems to have their own company. You know, every rep does what he or she feels is comfortable for them.
Yep.
And if they don't get the right response, they hang up.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the big three.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not interested. Somebody says, "Oh yeah, you're with that lead generation company, right?" Yeah. We're not interested.
No problem at all. Okay. So let's start here for a moment. Remember, recurring selling situation, right? What do the top pros do well? They're prepared. For the recurring selling situations, they get 90% of the time. You're going to be getting, I'm not interested. He just emailed me something. Now, Christmas time, New Year's, summer of next year, 10 years from now, guess what, buddy? You're getting the same objections, the same brush-offs. Yep. So if you don't know them now, then you're going to have 10 years of suffering ahead of you, however long your sales career is. It's true. That's why people hate
sales. If you don't know that, your sales career is probably going to last about 10 weeks.
You know, well, then you go to the next company, you'll have another nine-week run. Anyway, so here's the deal. Somebody says, I'm not interested. No problem at all. I didn't expect you to be. In fact, I'm not even trying to sell you something today. Instead, what I want to do is get you some information so the next time you're in the market, you'll be able to compare who you're getting from now and what your options are. Now, would you like me to email this to you or would you like me to just send you a link? You tell me what works best. And guess what? They'll tell you because they think they're getting you off the phone. They'll say, well, go ahead and email me something. Terrific. What email would you like me to send that to? You take that down and then you start qualifying. By the way, and then you can ask a variety of qualifiers. Are you the person who orders this? Who do you get this from now? When was the last time you ordered? How much do you go through? What size bearings do you use? So you've overcome the initial resistance. And by the way, I like to point out that when you get what most people think is an objection, it's not an objection. You haven't sold them anything yet. It's resistance. It's like when you go into the department store and the salesperson says, can I help you? What do you say? Just looking. That's just a resistance statement. So you need to be able to get around that resistance statement with a response that works.
Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you. I very rarely repeat things that I hear from other people like us, but in this case, I just can't help it. So I'm going to quote my buddy, the great Jeb Blunt, who, when he gets an objection, says, "I was hoping that's what you'd say." We're satisfied with our, "Oh, I was hoping you'd say that." Because the people we can help the most are the ones who start out by saying, "We're satisfied with who we've got." Mm-hmm. My own response when someone says, "Not interested," you blame that guy when you hang up the phone. Guy said he wasn't interested. No, dude, you weren't interesting. So if you would get a little more interesting, maybe they wouldn't say, "Not interested." Mm-hmm. "Hi, I'm Tiger Woods, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about golf." "Oh, sorry, Tiger, not interested." It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's never going to happen. So somewhere between you and the customer and Tiger Woods, you have to figure out some kind of medium that will actually get you accepted instead of rejected.
Yeah. And by the way, in my latest book, Power Phone Scripts, I've written 15, count them, 15 different responses to "I'm not interested." And you can you can use anyone you want. You can customize it to meet your personality. They all work. And they're all probably better than what you're saying now.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. When I cold called every office in downtown Charlotte when I first moved here, thousands of offices. I'd bang on the door, and somebody would say, "Oh, we're really not interested." And I would go, "Wow, that's great." It usually takes me four people of not interested to get one who's interested. You're my second one this morning. Do you know anybody else that might not be interested? And it's just completely off balance. And they will howl. They will howl. Yeah. And I get to talk more.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all you're looking for is a resistance statement. Go around it and see if they're willing to engage.
I have found that laughter is something that I've always been good at. I've always been kind of glib, you know, to talk to people. Maybe my New York selling background, where if you can't make people laugh, you got a real problem.
Yeah.
You think you're fucking funny? Like, as a matter of fact, I do.
If you give me a minute, you'll agree.
Exactly. But you have no idea how many times I was expletived out in New York City. I mean, just slamming the door in my face and just, it's crazy.
But I'm with you.
If someone would bang the door, I would bang again. I would knock again. "Did you mean not interested today? Yeah. Can I come back tomorrow?" And people, that's their first line of resistance.
Yeah.
They don't have time for you.
Exactly.
And so they say not interested. It's a reflex.
And, you know, along that, I love laughter, too. And I've been doing this since, you know, time began. I mean, it's so funny. I've been teaching people now. And there are a lot of younger salespeople out there, younger managers, even younger owners. And I tell them, listen, I was making 150 cold calls in 1984 when you were in a diaper. Actually, you weren't even born yet. So I might know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I've made a lot of calls, and I know how to do this. And I like to make people laugh, too. One of my responses is, especially if they're really aggressive, if they say, "I'm not interested," I say, "Of course you're not. I wouldn't be either. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But give me a minute. I think you'll become interested. Now, let me ask you this question." They're not expecting that. It just flows out of my mouth. They're not expecting that. And I don't care if they hang up on me. Right. What do I care?
Right. We had a limo driver in New York City. And he used to cut people off like crazy. And his response was, "I'll never see him again." And he was able to drive in the city without anger whatsoever, drive aggressively, and realize that it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are they going to do? Chase you home? So even though it may not be the most polite thing, for those of you who have never been to New York, there's no polite. It's not even in New Jersey anymore. They moved it all the way to Pennsylvania. So I think you have to look at it from the perspective of what is your objective? What is your goal? And if your goal is to get through to a decision maker, then you make it happen. I mean, I'm sure you know my phrase. I put a comma at the end of sentences and add stuff where salespeople normally stop. Like, I'm going to make 25 cold calls today, comma, even if my ass falls off. And that way there's some really good things. And I did one with some customer service people. And I said, add a comma to the end of everything you say and add the word grandma. Because if you wouldn't say it to your grandma, why would you say it to your best customer? That's our policy, grandma. Your warranty's expired, grandma. Oh. You're on credit hold, grandma. And I'll tell you, it is the most awakening statement I believe I've ever made in terms of the awareness of an audience. Because, you know, when you make an aha statement, you're training people about how to pick up the phone and make a call and get through to a decision maker. They get to that one aha, they go, wow, I can do this.
Yeah.
I never thought of this before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. But let's get down to the crux of it. Tell me how I set a meeting. I got through to Mr. Jones. He's a little reluctant. I want a meeting.
One of the things I like to say when I'm setting an appointment with someone is I like to take the pressure off and let them know that they're going to learn something from this meeting, whether they want to go further or not. So, for example, let's say that I'm selling something that a lot of their competitors are also either buying or using. I like to say, listen, here's the purpose of this meeting. What I want to do is come in there and show you what many of your competitors are using and why they're using it. And you know what? After the end of our 15-20 minute meeting, if this isn't for you and you want to stay using what you, no problem at all. But here's what I want. I want you to at least understand what your competitors are doing, why they're doing it, and how they may be getting a competitive advantage. After that, it's completely up to you as to where you'd like to go next. How does that sound? And you know what? Everybody wants to know what their competitors are doing. And I make it so, hey, if it's not for you, well, no problem at all. At least you'll have a better understanding. And people like that.
Mike, I kind of do every once in a while. You leave a voicemail and you're hoping it gets returned. And I go, hi, this is Jeffrey, 704-333-1112. I was speaking with a couple of your biggest competitors yesterday. They were talking about you and they said, and you hang up mid-message. And it's not professional, but it's funny as hell. And people will call you back. We got cut off. No, we didn't get cut off. I hung up because it was so important for me to talk to you. I wanted to make you smile and then talk to you about what I should be doing with you that I'm not doing right now, that we need to get together for 15 minutes or I need to buy you a cup of coffee. I've already identified 3 Starbucks. Tell me which one you control. Pretty interesting.
People just want to be acknowledged. One of the things my brother taught me, and salespeople have a difficult time with this, is just talk to people like people. They're just people. Don't be afraid of them. Treat them like you'd want to be treated. You know, it's hard for people to do that, but it's really true.
So diehards, Mike Brooks is pretty damn good. He's one of the best people that I know in the area of the phone. Inside sales is one thing, but picking up the damn phone, that's something that everybody does every day. You're reliant on the phone. If your phone is missing for 5 minutes, you're scared to death that something has happened and you're looking all over Hell's Half Acre to try to find it. Where's the wisdom? You know, you give people wisdom all the time and our diehards are dying for wisdom because they're really in search of the next competitive advantage. They want to know, okay, what's the best way? What's the fastest way? What's the easiest way? And there is none. I tell people take the long cut because the shortcut usually doesn't work. But what are you finding in today's world? What are you finding now that the kids that are on the phone that were not even born when you were on the phone, what are they doing better, different? What's in their way now that wasn't there before?
You know, social media. That's what's in the way now that wasn't in there before. Now, before everybody jumps on me, social media is great. But let me tell you something. When you go on to LinkedIn and you spend all that time looking up a prospect and you find out what college they go to and you find out what team they root for and you find out all that stuff, then you take another hour and you compose this personal email. Okay. Hey, I see that you went to, you know, and I get these emails, believe me. Hey, I was on your LinkedIn, bro. I see that you went to Souls. I'd like to, it's like, you know, doggone it. Who cares? Yeah, so you were a sales rep who sat at a desk and you took an hour when you could have made 30 phone calls, right? Why don't you pick up the phone and make a phone call? Because guess what? Even if that person responds, which they rarely do, and even if you end up picking up the phone, it's still going to be a cold call. It's still a prospecting call. It's still a phone call. And I hate to break it to all everyone, it's a numbers. Sales is a numbers game. It just is. The more phone calls you make, the more prospects you speak to, the more qualified buyers you're going to run into. So you know what? I think what people today need to learn how to do is to pick up the phone and make calls. And the way they're going to do that is by being prepared. Because again, the secret of sales is that 80 to 90%, you know, and they need to do that. They got to stop being afraid to talk to people.
The phone to me is still the most valuable instrument that a salesperson can have.
Period. And you know, I'll tell you something, Jeffrey, I have made, and you probably have too, millions of dollars on the phone, selling over the phone.
Yeah.
Millions. And I still do. And you know what? If you know how to do it well, it's the best thing in the whole world. But if you don't know how to do it well, it remains your enemy. And it's an impediment that will cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars every year over your career. It just
works. Or your job.
Your job.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, when I figured out how to really sell over the phone, my Sunday nights and went from, oh, God, it's Monday tomorrow to, all right, it's Monday tomorrow, man. Let's make some money. You know, that's where it went. Yeah, cool. It's all good. You know, I love spending time with you. It's great. Yeah, we have the same philosophy. We have the same background.
Totally.
You know, we know what's what, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Diehards, the great Mike Brooks. Pick up his phone scripts book. You will enjoy it. It will enhance your life. Actually Power Phone Scripts that has 500 different ideas and tips in it, including scripts verbatim. Even if you only pick out one that works, it will pay for the book 500 times over. Unfortunately, it means you do have to read it in order to be able to, you can't just rub it on your butt and hope it's going to go to your head like a cupcake would. But I think that he's proven himself in this interview. We've had several interviews with Mike Brooks. He's a person who absolutely gets it and understands the sales as it is as a science. And if you play it for fun, it's a game. Please get his stuff. And Mike, thank you so much for being here today. We will see you very soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. And good luck, everyone out there.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom.